Good evening and welcome to the gospel meeting. We want to welcome everyone. Thank you for being here tonight. And we have an exciting and a life-changing message that we get to share with you this evening. So we are glad that you are here. I ask that you listen very carefully. Tonight, your life could change. We also take this time for those who are listening to this message around the world. Through the use of technology, we send our love and greetings to you from the state of Michigan. And just as those are here, this message is also for you. I'd like to begin with a number 4 in the back of the book. It says, His be the victor's name, who fought the fight alone. Triumphant saints no honor claim. His conquest was their own. By weakness and defeat, he won the meed and crown. Trod all our foes beneath his feet, by being trodden down. Bless, bless the conqueror slain, slain in his victory. Who lived, who died, who lives again for thee, or for you, his church, for thee. Number 4 in the back of the book. His be the... Let's pray and ask the Lord's help. Lord Jesus, we thank you that we can come together this beautiful Sunday evening to share the gospel. We just pray for each and every one who hears this message, that they would come to know how much you love them, how much you care about them. In your desire that not one person in this room or not one person who is listening to this message would end up in the lake of fire, but that they would come to know you as their own personal Savior. We pray that the entrance of thy words would bring forth light. And we pray tonight that there would be many who would come to know you as their own personal Savior. We pray for power. We pray for conviction, and we pray for blessing on thy precious word. And lastly, we pray for the young people from Canada who are traveling, the group of 15 or 20. We pray for journeying mercies and a safe trip for each and every one of them. We ask this in your worthy and precious name. Amen. Before we sing another song, just like Bernie introduced himself yesterday to the group here, I'm just a servant of the Lord, but it's nice to have that personal connection because the message that we share with you tonight is something that I've accepted myself, and it's changed my life. My name is Donnie, and I live on the other side of this beautiful state of Michigan, closer to Detroit. So we welcome each and everyone here. For those of you that are not from Michigan, you can use your hand. And we're over on the left side of your hand. That's approximately where we are. And then Michigan, where we're from, on the other side, Detroit and Richmond, are over on the right hand of the side. So if you're not from around here, you can ask somebody to show you where on their hand they live. Michigan is a great state to be able to use your hand. Okay. And if you have a thumb on your hand, which I believe everybody does, just go ahead and touch your thumb. I want you to know tonight that you are somebody that God loves, and He cares for you. I'd like to sing the same song we just sung. There's value in repetition. There's value in singing a song more than once because we want the message to sink in, and we want the truth that's in this song to be something that you remember not only for tonight, but for the rest of your life. Because I'd like to speak about the one who is the victor, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Because it's all about Him and nothing about ourselves. So tonight as we preach the gospel, it's all about Him and nothing about ourselves. He was the one, referring to the Lord Jesus, who went to Calvary's cross to bleed and suffer and die for you and for me. And I'm excited to be able to tell you about Him and the true story from God's Word this evening. So let's go back to number 4, and we're going to sing it again. 4 in the back of the book. His be the tonight's message, as I mentioned, can change your life, and I ask that you listen very carefully. It would be a wonderful thing if tonight you found peace with God. It would be an incredible thing if the sins that you have are forgiven. It would be a marvelous thing if the direction of your life, instead of going to the bad place, hell, was changed so you could go to the good place, heaven. It would be so special if that void in your heart that you have could be filled. We're just so thankful that Tim and his wife Elaine have this camp and invite us to come. It's just, we've been here 2 days now and it's been so fun being able to visit, being able to meet new friends, being able to catch up with our brothers and sisters in Christ that we know. Our children have really enjoyed being able to see their friends and to make new friends, and just so special to be here. But tonight could be even so much more wonderful if you were to accept the Lord Jesus as your Savior. As I look out into the room, I assume that most of you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior, but I don't have assurance that every single person does. And it's so important that if you're one of the ones who doesn't, that you accept the Lord Jesus as your Savior tonight. And for those of you who are listening to this, perhaps you're on the treadmill right now, perhaps you're driving down the street, we love you too, and we want you to come to know the Lord Jesus as your Savior. Tonight we present to you a God who loves you. But before we do that, as we just step back, as we look around the beautiful scenery here at the camp, as we see the beautiful trees outside, as we see the beautiful water down beneath the big recreation room, who made all that? That was created by God. And God, who created this world, who created the beauty around us, He also created you. And He loves you. And He cares about you. And He knows all about you. The Bible says, we'll begin with this verse in John chapter 3. John chapter 3 and verse 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So right at the very, very start, we want to bring out the wonderful truth that God loves you. We also want to bring out the truth that God is holy. And God cannot have any sin in His presence. And also want to bring out that God is light. So as I speak to you tonight, it's really not what I say, it's what does God say. God's word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And it's the entrance of God's word that gives light. If you're searching tonight, you come to the right place. We can help you. We can share God's word with you, and your life can be changed. Tonight's message is going to be centered around a verse in the book of Job. In Job chapter 41. It's going to be three words, so that even the youngest person in this room can remember it to the oldest. The gospel is not complicated. It's very simple. It's life-changing. But the story behind it and what happened is very, very important, because someone had to die to make it possible for you to be able to accept God's gift of eternal life. But before we get into that, let's set the stage with a verse in Job chapter 41 and verse 8. Job chapter 41 and verse 8, it says, "Lay thine hand upon him, remember the battle, do no more." And tonight I'm going to use this verse in Liberty and the Gospel, and we're going to focus on those three words. Remember the battle. We're going to talk about what was that battle, who was involved in it, where did it take place, why did it take place, and why is it so important? This morning we had the privilege, and it was a privilege, to be able to remember the Lord Jesus in his death, as he asked us to do. What a wonderful way to put the Lord first and start off the week by putting him first and being obedient to his request to remember him. But you might be wondering, who is Jesus? I've heard about him. Who is God? I've heard about him. Tonight you can find out, and tonight you can know who these ones are. Remember the battle. Because there was a death that took place nearly 2,000 years ago. And there was a lot at stake. The eternal destiny of mankind was at stake on this battle that took place on Mount Calvary. And so today we're going to remember the battle. We're going to look at it. Who was involved? Why did it take place? Why did somebody have to die? What happened? What was the outcome? Remember the battle. Well, first of all, let's set the stage. We've mentioned that God is a God of love. And he loves each and every one of you. And remember the thumb on your hand? You are somebody that God loves. Yes, I can speak intelligently, but I was just putting that as a pun. You are somebody God loves. But think of that thumb. You are somebody that God loves. And God loves you more than you ever know. He was the one who created you. He was the one who knew long before you were born who your parents were going to be. He was the one who knew what state, what province, what country you would live in. He was the one who knew if you would have any brothers or sisters. He's the one who sees you inside your mommy's tummy right now, even though you haven't been born. And he loves you. That's one of his characteristics. We've also reminded ourselves that God is holy. God cannot tolerate sin. Timothy was speaking this morning, remember those bricks? And I'm going to kind of use a little bit of repetition. One, it helps my children remember what we've covered so far in the meeting. So if I reference what Tim was speaking about or what Bernie was speaking about yesterday, it's good to remind ourselves and to build upon them, right? Line upon line, precept upon precept. He had before us those stones. Those were weights. And the one who can remove them, we're going to tell you about that again today. Sin is not just something that weighs us down. In God's sight, it's awful. I did not bring it as an object lesson, but I could have because I just got a fresh one about 45 minutes before the gospel meeting, but it was a poopy diaper. And sin is like a poopy diaper. It's dirty, it's awful, and in the eyes of a holy and righteous God, he can't have it. I think some of you are smiling and glad I didn't bring it, but I think that you could relate to it, even though I don't have it here. It's bad. And God cannot have it in his presence. So we have a God of love, and we have a God who is holy, and we have sin, and we have love. And something has to be done, because God loves you, but he cannot allow sin into heaven, can he? Won't allow any sin into heaven. And why that is important is because, let's be honest, we all have what? We all have sinned. And if we're honest, we will admit that. The Bible tells us that in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and that includes me. The Bible tells us that there is none righteous, no, not one. So when we bring before us the realization that each and every one of us, we're guilty of sin. I know we live in a society today where sin is kind of watered down. Ones that our sins are kind of given names that are more softer sounding. For example, adultery is kind of known nowadays, not so much as adultery, but premarital sex still is sin. Fornication, which is sin, is now known as having an affair. Homosexuality, which is sin, is known as having an alternative lifestyle. Can you see how our society waters things down? It still is sin. Abortion, which is murder, we call that pro-choice. That's still sin. But even the things like lying, stealing, those are sins. And those need to be judged. And those need to be dealt with. Turn with me to Luke chapter 5, please. Luke chapter 5 and verse 8, this is Peter speaking. After I read this verse, I'll ask you the question. It says, when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. At this camp, let's just be real. Let's be honest. Let's not try to hide ourselves, not try to put on a mask. Just let's get to the point. Have you ever in your life gotten to the point where you said, I am a sinful man. I am a sinful woman. I am a sinful boy. I am a sinful girl. Have you got to that point? I have good news for you. But we need to get to the realization that we need to see things as God sees us, don't we? Don't try to pretend. Is there someone here tonight who is pretending? Your parents think that you are a Christian. And maybe you said your verses in Sunday school. Maybe you sing the songs with excitement and enthusiasm. But you know, in your heart, you've never accepted the Lord Jesus as your Savior. Maybe you're the teenager who's sitting here tonight. Same thing. You've said your verses in Sunday school. You've heard your parents tell you about the Lord Jesus. You've heard your grandparents tell you. But just have never made that decision to accept the Lord Jesus as your Savior. I want to encourage you to do that tonight. Not only if you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Savior are you in your sins, there is a sense of danger because the path that you're on is not the path that leads to heaven. Help me out. Where is the path